This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Borscht Club on ORFM, where we stir up vibrant stories, rich traditions, and the voices of the Ukrainian community. Grab a seat, it's time to dive into something truly special. Last Saturday in Dunedin, we had the chance to see the documentary 2000 Meters to Andriivka by Oscar-winning filmmaker Mstislav Chernov. The film is another powerful example of how cinema can tell the story of war from the inside. It follows Ukrainian soldiers as they fight meter by meter to reclaim a small village that has been reduced to ruins. The camera takes us along a narrow strip of land, once a forest lane between fields. Over several weeks, journalists walk the full distance with a group of fighters, filming every step of those 2 kilometers. Every 100 meters comes at a terrible cost, and yet the Ukrainian soldiers know why they fight. This is their land. They believe that one day they will rebuild it. After the screening, many of us sat quietly in our seats, unable to leave right away. The film left me with many thoughts. Even though I know that the reality on the front line is much harsher, with the most brutal moments cut out, it was still incredibly powerful. I saw many people leave the theater in tears, and I believe this kind of film is important for everyone to watch. The moment that keeps echoing in my mind is the desperate cry of the Ukrainian soldier to the Russian occupier they pulled out of the trenches. "Why did you come here? What are you doing here?" It is so hard to comprehend that in our times, someone can simply invade, destroying everything in their path, without reason or sense. The film showed only 2 narrow kilometers of destroyed pathway leading to a village that no longer exists, and yet for years people have been fighting and dying there. For Ukrainians, it's clear why they fight, to reclaim their land, broken but still theirs. Why Russians have come there is beyond understanding. The film's matter-of-fact tone, showing all of this destruction as an everyday routine, struck me deeply, because tragically that is the everyday reality for Ukrainians. And still in my head I hear that soldiers cry, "What on earth are you doing here?" This experience connects closely to other Ukrainian film projects that are reaching audience worldwide, sharing the truth about the war and preserving the voice of Ukraine. One of those voices is our guest today, Irina Pravilo, a Kyiv-based filmmaker, producer and cultural activist. Her documentary, Flowers Beyond the Dark, has already received international recognition and is set to premiere this autumn in the United States and other countries, including New Zealand. Welcome, Irina. Вітаю.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with you. Could you tell us a bit about yourself and your path into filmmaking?
Well, I was born and raised in Kyiv, Ukraine. I'm a film director, producer, directing teacher, and cultural activist. My filmmaking journey began back in my student years at the Kyiv National Karpenko Kare Theatre, Cinema and Television University. I was really lucky to meet some truly amazing teachers there. Our film program traces its roots back to the world-famous theater and film director Lais Kurbas, whose work had a ground-building impact on Ukrainian culture. Kurbas was among many executed by the Soviets in 1937 at Sandermoch. My mentor Mykola Mrzlykin often used to tell us, "Did you truly have something to say? Or was it just a vibration of the air?" That principle of artistic responsibility has shaped every one of my creative choices. My projects often explore themes of both personal and national identity, deeply rooted in history and literature. My first fiction work, for example, was a short film called Watches, based on a story by Dalia Grinkevičiūtė about the deportation of Lithuanian people by the Soviets in 1941. Later, I worked on an international project called The Trilogy, My Childhood, which included 3 films inspired by stories by writers from Ukraine, Georgia, and Italy. These films are about boys aged 6, 11, and 15 years old who lost their father or both of parents because of war. The focus of the films is on exploring the personality development of these boys. At the moment, I'm working on several projects, both fiction and documentary, that explore Ukraine's history and its present.
You are not only the director of Flowers Beyond the Dark, but also its screenwriter, producer, and even one of the cinematographers. How did this story come to life?
We are a small but mighty team. Each one of us wears a lot of hats. But this is a common practice in documentary filmmaking, especially when it comes to filming during wartime. In the first weeks of the full-scale invasion war, I joined volunteer efforts. Together with my friends, we worked to bring humanitarian aid to people in need in Kyiv. After the deoccupation of Kyiv region, me and my colleague, cinematographer Alexander Mashirikov, understood that we had to document as many crimes committed by Russian soldiers as possible. We filmed destroyed buildings, ruined infrastructure, city workers, injured citizens, and other witnesses. It was dangerous. Many areas were heavily mined, but we went to Bucha, Irpin, Hostomel, Gorinka, and Borodyanka.
What does this film mean to you personally? Why was it important for you to tell this story?
This documentary project about events we've witnessed ourselves is both a civic and artistic duty. It's a way to fight for the truth, for survival, and for the chance to create and to show the world what is really happening from the inside. It immediately became painfully clear. Our nation is still facing centuries-long genocide, inflicted first by Russian Empire, then Soviet Union, and now Russia. Writers, activists, filmmakers, journalists, artists, all are among the victims. Russian aim to erase our culture, identity, and the very sense of being Ukrainian, destroying lives on both mental and physical levels. But that pressure sparked inside every Ukrainian resistance. There was also this deep need for justice and fight for our nation's survival. And really, every caring person in the world, I think, had to make their own choice when it came to what was happening in Ukraine. So in that moment, I asked myself, how can I be useful? How can I resist? The present of 2022 is already history, but Russia is trying to rewrite it to serve its own agenda, spreading its narratives even on the biggest international film platforms. That is why sharing Ukraine's story through cinema on the global stage has become more important than ever.
The film unfolds around real people. What was it like to film during such emotionally charged circumstances?
The world was shaken by what came out of Bucha. More than 500 civilians had been murdered in the city. More than 100 people were buried in a mass grave right in front of the Church of St. Andrew. This church became one of the first subjects we followed and documented. Later on, we met the main priest, Father Andriy Halavin. He played a key role in exhumation of the dead bodies on the territory of his church. He also greeted many international journalists and politicians. So we were filming all these processes. The story of the artist couple, Natalia and Sergei, is very personal to me. I've known them since childhood, and I had worked with Sergei before on feature films. When this full-scale invasion began, Natalia was stuck in the village of Babinsi near Bucha, while her husband remained in Kyiv and couldn't get her out. Thank God Natalia survived and managed to live through the occupation. I asked her if she was willing to share her story, and thankfully she said yes. Her testimony is a document of time, a document of the emotions of that moment. Later, it became clear that the third part had to be about our army our defenders. Now there are many ways to film the military, but back then it was almost impossible to get access. We managed to get accreditation quite quickly. And later, under tragic events during the defense of the Kyiv region, the father of our friend, a soldier of the 72nd Brigade, was killed. That friend, knowing about our idea, introduced us to a commander, Andriy Verkhovlyad, who helped us to shoot soldiers of his battalion. So film brings together three storylines: the artist couple torn apart by occupation, the soldiers of the 72nd Brigade standing guard over the Kyiv region, and the parish community in Bucha led by Father Andriy Halavin, who suddenly found himself with a new duty, guiding foreign delegations through the sites of grief and memory. We feel deeply grateful to all of our protagonists. Each of them still carries the same strong demand for justice as they did on the very first day of the invasion.
What was the most difficult moment for you emotionally while working on this film?
Working on this film was emotionally very difficult. Neither I nor my colleagues expected to make a full-length documentary about the war. We weren't just filmmakers, we were also participants directly affected. And when you understand that the enemy wants to destroy your country, your people, your culture, it's overwhelming. But you have to keep filming. One of the most difficult moments was filming the exhumation of bodies in Bucha. When we arrived, the town still carried the heavy atmosphere of fear and death. We stood at the gates of the church, unsure if we even had the strength to enter. Then we saw international journalists and realized filming was permitted. But just before stepping in, I had a moment, a deep hesitation, realizing I was about to film the bodies of innocent Ukrainian people. So I asked myself, am I ready for this? It was incredibly hard. The moment we crossed into the church grounds, I felt a strange sense of protection, like something held me together, like I entered a working state. I just knew I had to do this. In the end, we captured 15 shots, most of which made it into the final cut. As painful as it was, I believe we did something important there.
What did you learn about people and about yourself while filming this?
Yes, our cinematographer and executive producer, Alexander Mashirikov, kept a diary during the filming. It helped us process what we were going through and became a valuable part of the project, capturing the raw feelings of each moment. One of the most emotional experiences was meeting hero of Ukraine, Andriy Verkhovlyad, a remarkable commander I mentioned before, young, smart, brave, deeply committed. We were in awe of him and hoped to film a full interview later. I asked him to be a character in the film, but he humbly said, "You should film my guys." He guided us during the shoot, helping with every question or request. He was like our godfather. He would even joke, "Father blesses you." It was funny because he was actually younger than us. And it was Andriy who introduced us to the wonderful people who later became heroes of the film: Vitaly Paly, co-signed Bulat, a gunner operator, and Sergei Buldakov, co-signed Udmurt, a BMP driver mechanic. Sadly, in June 2022, we learned that Andriy had been killed in action on the Eastern Front line. It was devastating. Losing someone so full of vision and hope for Ukraine was one of the most painful moments of this entire journey. The film is dedicated to his blessed memory. Now, with time, it's very difficult to read these diary notes, remembering how much hope there was for the future. I want to share with you two quotes from this diary, one about the atmosphere we were in at the time, and another about the moment we met with Andriy. First one: turning off the Irpin-Borodyanka highway, right before passing the military, who are closely inspecting everything and everyone, we drive onto a forested, paved road scarred by shellings. Often, we have to cross a solid line and move against the oncoming traffic. Now, this is the new normal here. The main thing is that there is at least a stretch of a road possible not blocked by shot-up civilian cars or burnt trees.
Second one. On the way, our friend, with a smile, tells us that he will introduce us to a hero, a 27-year-old major of the 72nd Brigade, who went through the East and has already received the People's Hero of Ukraine Award. Now his brigade has made a powerful contribution to retaking the Kyiv region from the enemy. He has a wonderful sense of humor and has previously participated in filming, so he understands everything and is waiting for us. And his call sign is Lev Hand, Major Andrei Verkhogliad. Google it, said our friend proudly.
The full-scale war is ongoing. How does one balance the urgency of documenting real-time trauma with the time needed for reflection and storytelling?
We are now ready for the premiere of Flowers Beyond the Dark, a film about the events of early 2022, and with some distance from that time and after several focus group screenings, I can say it's critically important not only to capture the moment, but also to find ways of rethinking it, to ask deeper questions, and sometimes to search for answers through cinematic language. One of our characters, priest Andrei Halavin, says, "People often ask me why this happened. Maybe the better question is not why, but for what?" He talks about the difference between someone passing away peacefully in old age and a young soldier in Mariupol who keeps fighting, not because of hate, but because of love for his friends, his family, his country. And that feeling, knowing what we are fighting for, is what gives us the strength to believe in victory. Ukrainians see the reality of war daily. Maybe the world is tired of our tears, but the role of art is not only to reflect pain, it is to show the human side of war, to remind people what still holds the world together. Flowers Beyond the Dark is about that beauty, the beauty we must fight for. The title itself is a symbol of life resisting death.
Will we be able to watch the film here and when?
Yes, thanks to the support of the Ukrainian Cultural Foundation, we have been able to adapt the film into English. The project has been also supported by the NGOs Nova Ukraine and the Congress of Cultural Activists, along with more than 50 donors from different countries. More recently, Leleka Foundation joined in. Now we have been selected for the competition program at the Carmel International Film Festival, so we will be presenting the film this October in the US. After that, a series of screenings is planned in other countries, including New Zealand, so we invite everyone to follow the project's pages Flowers Beyond the Dark on Facebook and Instagram, and to join us at the screenings. The film tells the stories of people who are directly living through the war in Ukraine. It doesn't just show what happened, it invites the audience to think about the value of human life and the importance of peace. With close attention to detail, haunting images of destruction, and strong character portraits, it becomes a document of our time. The Russian invasion of Ukraine is an attack on universal human values, freedom, justice, the right to choose, and even the right to live. So people are not just watching events unfold online, they are also showing solidarity, standing with Ukraine in many different ways. For me, this project is not just about recording or reflecting on history. It's also about creating something that will influence how future generations understand this war, so that the truth cannot be twisted or forgotten. It raises a question: can we continue to tolerate evil in any form? In the film, Ukrainians are not only shown as victims of aggression, they are also portrayed as strong, resilient people, people who accept the challenge, who hold the line, and above all, who believe in the victory of good over evil. The film and its English adaptation aim to bring this topic back into focus and remind audiences of Ukraine's struggle, a country fighting one of the world's largest armies, led by one of the most brutal dictators.
You describe the film as a document of time. What do you hope future generations, both in Ukraine and abroad, will take from it?
Russia has never really been punished. Not for deportations and repressions, not for the Holodomor, not for its crimes in World War II. The list is endless. I hope films like ours will serve as a reminder and proof that if evil is not punished, the monster will just want more and more.
Do you believe art has a special power in processing grief, memory, and war?
Thanks for this question. One of the main themes of our project deals with the idea of a requiem, of recognizing tragedy, remembering, and connecting loss to our identity. What often drives us and gives us strength to keep going is memory and a sense of duty to those who gave their lives for a better future for Ukraine. When we study historical figures in school, it feels more like knowledge, something distant. But now, living through these events every day and seeing how almost every family in Ukraine has been touched by loss in some way, we understand it on a completely different level. We have to accept loss, and we have to act, and we have to keep living in a way for those we have lost. In the film, there is the image of the white church in Bucha. At the moment of the invasion, it was unfinished and the inside wasn't decorated yet. Over time, this space became a place for displaying photos of the victims and for musical events, Bucha Requiem, where Ukrainians could come to pray and listen to works of famous Ukrainian composers. We were able to capture this process on film. There is a scene in the film that's a central dramatic moment. In this scene, the combination of tragedy and loss shown in the photos, combined with the music of Yevhen Stankovich, gives a feeling of deep pain, but also respect, anger, and the motivation to keep living.
Do you feel that stories like this are being heard abroad, or is there still a gap in understanding?
The tragedy Ukraine is living through has made the whole world notice us. People now see what kind of nation we are. After receiving so much support, I feel our task is not only to speak about our pain, but also to show our value, our culture, our qualities, the meaning we bring to the world. Yes, we are victims of this war. But at the same time, it's important for others to understand. In Ukraine, the fight is not just for territory. It's for human values. That is why this fight matters to all of humanity. It is about whether freedom, dignity, and justice will win the foundations of a better world. In our film, there is a lot of pain and destruction. But we also want to show the beauty of Ukrainians, their talents, their thoughts, their love for life. We are fighting out of love for our families, for each other, and for the world. That's why we use the image of flowers beyond the dark. Flowers like nature itself remind us of both beauty and human imperfection. This symbol speaks to international audiences on both an emotional and a deeper level.
The stories Irina tells are not just cinema. They are living documents of our time, proof that Russia's aggression is not only about tanks and missiles, but also about the attempt to erase culture, identity, and memory. At the same time, her work shows beauty that emerges even through darkness, which is why the image of flowers breaking through the night became the title of her film, Flowers Beyond the Dark. For Dunedin, this conversation carries a special meaning too. Our city knows the power of culture to bring communities together, to create belongings, and to preserve humanity. Watching Ukrainian cinema here in the far south of the world means more than just supporting filmmakers. It's about joining a global dialogue on resilience, freedom, and the right to one's own story. Thank you for being with us in this episode of Borch Club. Remember, as long as we preserve and share our stories, we preserve ourselves. Thank you for tuning in to Borch Club on ORFM. Stay connected with us and listen to our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and oar.org.nz. This is your host, Оля Вязенко, wishing you joy and a delicious day ahead. До зустрічі! See you next time!
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.